The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister, Mary, and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. God's home address is reality. Now that sounds kind of like a lofty theological statement, so let me continue. God's home address, the place that God dwells, the place where God lives, is reality. That means that God does not dwell in falsehoods or euphemisms or covering up, even when we try our best. No, God's reality, God's home is reality. Part of becoming a pastor, one of the things that you have to do when you are going through seminary is to do a program called CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, where you're a chaplain in a hospital for a summertime, usually. And the particular hospital where Becky and I both did our chaplaincy units was a teaching hospital for medical professionals. And so not only were there, you know, new chaplains there, but there were people who were training to be doctors and nurses and technicians. And one of the things that this particular hospital did was every year arrange for a new batch of doctors to come in and practice with the chaplains on how to give the very difficult news that a loved one has died, right? How to do this well and how to name it honestly. And you might think that that's kind of funny that they have to practice this, but it turns out that those of us who have to give this kind of news or those of us who have to talk about these things, it's very difficult to engage in the reality of the word death. And so one by one, as these doctors-to-be would come into the room. Now you have a room full of chaplains who are pretending to be a family, let's say the Smith family. And the task for the doctors is very simple. Come in, say, "I regret to inform you that your loved one has died." And one by one, the doctors would come in, they'd get really nervous, and they would say, "I regret to inform you that your loved one has passed along. Or I regret to inform you that your loved one is no longer with us or has moved on or is no longer here." And they just over and over again, they didn't see one another do this, but over and over again, they wouldn't use this word death. Because we know the reality of this word death. That's probably one of the hardest words that we as people can engage with. The home address of God is reality. It's not euphemism. It's not hiding behind something that's easy to hear or that's going to soften the blow. We get this in our gospel reading. Even Jesus is tempted to sort of soften the blow a little bit. He says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." And the disciples say, "Well, if he's fallen asleep, that sounds good to us. Let's go wake him up." And Jesus says, "Oh, wait, let me say that again. Lazarus has died." And notice that the disciples and Mary and Martha, they actually enter into this beautifully. Martha comes out with all of her anger and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." And then Mary says, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." And they're asking a really important question, and one that I have to say the text doesn't necessarily answer for us. Where is God? Where is God when the world around us feels like it's falling apart? Where is God right now in the time of COVID-19? Why isn't God doing something? In a time of tragedy, in a time of personal loss, that is always, always the question that we ask ourselves. Where is God? And I have to be the first one to say, in this text, I'm not sure that we receive the answer that we want to receive. Jesus waits 4 days to do something. But reality is God's home address. Reality is the place where God dwells. Notice in our gospel lesson, or in our lesson from Ezekiel, at no point does God look over the valley of dry bones and says to the prophet, hey, these bones here, they're just kind of, they're just sleeping for a while, or they're just laying there. No, he says, these are dry bones. These bones are dead. But this is the reality of God, that God enters into our reality, enters into it in all of its loss and in all of its grief and all of its pain. No, God stands at the tomb. And was it Martha? She says, Lord, you don't want to go in there. It's been 4 days and there's already a stench. And Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps at engaging that reality. So I want to try something right now. This is a little bit of a kind of technological risk that I'm about to take, but I want to try it. I think that in order for us to engage in our reality, sometimes it's helpful for us to talk to one another about that. So this program of ours, Zoom, has the capacity to break us up into small groups. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click a button in just a moment. You're going to be sent to what's called a breakout room. In fact, you're going to have a little prompt on your screen that says, moving to breakout room, and you'll just be randomly assigned. And I want to just take this opportunity to allow everyone to just name the places that stink. Name the things that are going on. Maybe it's something with COVID-19. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's something totally unrelated. But something in your life that is weighing on you, a grief, a loss, a confusion, an anger like Mary and Martha, and a real sort of tangible anger. Because the reality, the place where God lives, is in that reality. But sometimes we got to get beyond the euphemisms. We got to get beyond our own tendency to say everything is fine. So I'm going to click a button, hopefully. And you'll be sent to these rooms. Now, you're going to have to do two things. One, if your camera's not on, you might consider turning your camera on so that others can see you. And two, you will need to physically unmute your sound when you get to that room. So you're going to have 5 minutes. I recommend introducing yourself, just in case we have visitors. Introduce yourself. And also, as people share, I invite you just to let them share, not to have to fix or not to have to tell them what is actually happening, just to let them share what's going on. And again, the prompt is, what stinks right now? What are the things that are hurting in your life? Okay, let me push this button. All right, I see our rooms are created. And you will be in those rooms for 5 minutes, and then you'll be invited to come back here to our main spot. Here we go. I just want to just sort of wrap things up by saying, with Jesus in the gospel, we don't meet a God who is standing at the edge of a stinky tomb saying, gosh, I don't really want to go in there, or gosh, I don't really have any interest. No, God says, Jesus says, Lazarus, stand, rise, come out. The Spirit of God washes over the land that is filled with dry bones, and bone come together, sinews cover them, and God says, rise and stand. We meet a God who is anxious to meet us in our reality, no matter what that reality is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how devastated or filled with destruction and death. No, we have a God who longs to meet us there. Thanks be to God. Amen.